vanity, wants to get the limited editions. As he walks, he stumbles upon B-Fun being beaten by the Shadow faction boss. The Shadow Lady then ties both Y and B-Fun up as another guy to go, and unable to escape unless she unties.
I'm so happy. am I wrong? Tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh. I really hate that I give a fuck. Pressing my line, I don't wanna pick up. We know enough will never be enough. I play off the cash, you keep calling my bluff. Baby, diving deeper and deeper. She don't believe me when I tell her that I need her. Guess I should've stayed where I belong. Cause once you make it back to your happy home, well, I'm alone, every night alone. Why am I alone? I don't know what you want me to do. Am I wrong? Tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh. Remind me of my dreams. Maybe I'd be better on the run. Double vision playing all week. Seems like a game of survival. Why am I dying for a title? Is it even worth it? When I just end up alone, every night alone. Why am I alone? I don't know that you want me to. Am I wrong? I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh. My number one, I don't need nothing on the side. Said that I was done for good and don't want no more lies. But my phone be blowing up, temptations on my line. I stare at the screen a while before I press decline. But she plants a seed and it still lingers in my mind. Told myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
Flip me a Xanny at once.
Somebody.
I got the earth and the blunt.
Smoke.
I get the skirt when I want.
Girl.
I get the skirt when I want.
Girl.
Due to the money aroma.
Somebody.
My girl, she got a diploma.
Smoke.
She got white written all over. She got white written all over. All a nigga know is how to fuck a good thing up. Run from the pain, sip lean, smoke tree up. When I'm in your town, press town, hit me up. When I'm in your town, press town, hit me up. Only if you down and you slurp good D up. If the work good, I'll be back for the re-up. Hate when I creep in the phone, wake me up. Fake like I'm sleep, knowing damn well I be up. Monkey on my back and I walk 100 miles. Guilt make a nigga feel fake when he smile. Love get confused in the mind of a child. Cause love wouldn't lie like I lie and it's wild. Wanna have my cake and another cake too. Even if the baker don't bake like you. Even when the flavor don't taste like you. So I'm back mobbing with the late night crew. All in your mind with fears that would come true. Back of my mind, back of my mind was you. Wishing that I could blind myself from you. And only advice for you. Flip me a Xanny at once.
Somebody.
I got the earth and the blunt.
Smoke.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
Due to the money aroma.
Somebody.
My girl, she got a diploma.
Smoke.
She got white written all over. She got white written all over. I'm a fake nigga and it's never been clearer. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. I'm a fake nigga and it's never been clearer. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror. Can't see myself when I look in the mirror.
She my number one, I don't need nothing on the side. Said that I was done for good and don't want no more lies. But my phone be blowing up, temptations on my line. I stare at the screen a while before I press decline. But she plants a seed and it still lingers in my mind. Told myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
I love her, I don't wanna lose her. I'm selfish, I know that I use her. My ego gets stroked and I bruise her. My ego gets stroked and I bruise her. My actions, I know they confuse her. At home, I look happy as usual. On the road, on my Mac, I'm a chooser. I'm an addict, I'm masking it.
Kevin's hard.
They tell me what's done in the dark will find a way to shine. I done did so much that when you see, you might go blind. What's done in the dark will always find a way to shine. I done did so much that when you see, you might go blind.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I touched, if I kissed, if I held you tight in the morning light? Yeah. Would you mind if I said how I felt in the lead tonight? Again, cause I never ever felt this way in my heart before. Oh, love has found its way in my heart tonight. Would you mind if I looked in your eyes and I hypnotize and I lose my mind? Yeah. Would you mind if I made love to you till I'm satisfied? Once again, cause I never found
I know the truth, not so do you. can't hide love, well I bet ya girl, I look in your eyes, do you care? So why not stop trying to run and hide? You won't find out if you never try.
Get everybody in here and make everything else good. Was having technical difficulties, but I made it in. It happened. It was good. It was good. So, party people, I hope you can hear me. I don't know if you hear this in the background, but we just turn that up. Oh, there we go. Now, welcome to another installment of War Council here on the Epiphany Radio Universe, a For Real Entertainment Network where we encourage you to take your socks off, where we boldly go where poems have never been before. That being said, War Council is back. We have a whole lot to discuss, of course. We'll be doing a segment basing on blocking your blessings. That is, we're going to be talking about the Keith Lee effect and the Sweet Lee season and how she fumbled the bag. As well as we're going to institute a new subject, which is called FOH. Please don't kill me for real or fire me, because I'll just come back to work the next day and act like nothing's wrong. But we're calling this segment Fuck Outta Here. All right. And you get to say your reasons for telling whatever particular thing, section, portion of the society, thing that happened in the news, stuff that's going on in the community, even the people who come and steal your parking space, you give them a fuck out of here. And I'm going to put a sound effect in here for the next time, so when we do it, I'll be able to hit the button. It's going to be fun. Trust me. Now, we're going to discuss, debate. I'm going to play cue music in the background, because that's what I do. Putting some things on it. I am getting a soundboard and doing all kinds of funny stuff because I plan on doing like itty bitty recordings and things of that sort of that nature as I work on certain things in the background for the drip and myself. It's going to be nice. But, of course, Tiffany is the squid-eyed just in case you didn't know that. So I'm going to open these mics up real quick, see what people are, see what's happening. First person who needs no introduction, one of my bestest friends in the entire world, my favorite Philly John, of course, it is La Pearl La Negra. Well, we're going to call it Danielle tonight. Danielle, you there?
I am here, as always. Good evening, everybody.
Of course.
Peace and bless.
Well, hey, listen, I know people be like, you don't have an event page. I said, you know what I learned about doing an event page? People don't go to my event pages. That's what I learned. It's like, they don't go to event pages. They go, you invite me to another thing again, they don't show up. Now, the funny thing is, like, we have that company. It's like, yo, go to this event page. I was like, I'm having an event page. No event page. Have me. You got to know me. Let me stop. That sounds mad arrogant. what's going on?
It's all good tonight, man. I've been sitting here crocheting and waiting for you to open up tonight.
Well, you know, I'll be trying to lay the grooves down. You know, I had to hit that Earth, Wind, and Fire back to back because it was good to me. It was good to
oh,
me.
Oh, you know I was in here singing. You know? Yeah. Oh, yes.
I'll be having it. I'll be like, I'm like, yo, y'all ain't get on the music. Because some music be making me mad nowadays. So I just be like, yo, what was I listening to? Like, what is this? But, you know, that's a whole other discussion. Let me go over here. I believe, I'm going to open up this mic. I believe this is Lisa Lips. Lisa Lips,
sure enough is. It's me.
All right.
Hey, sis, what's up?
Happy birthday. We know your birthday passed, but happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know, we got to sing to you.
I love it when you sing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you had
don't
me
be
with
start.
The
don't
Phillies
start.
Earlier.
Not won't be not.
You had me with the Phillies earlier.
I had you in the Phillies. Well, you listened to music. He was like, ooh.
Yeah. The Phyllis Hyman got me.
Man, listen, I'm going to tell you, man, listen. I think, honest to goodness, I don't give a shit. I'm going to do it. I don't care if I do it on Clubhouse or I do it here. I need people to tell me stories about music. I need music stories out because some of my best memories, like man, listen, my pops had a blue LTD. And we were in the car, like I could tell you like all kinds about the music that I heard. And yo, I remember when this song came out, we'd be coming down like the LIE. And you know, sparsely to the park, like, you know how to love, you know, right? And my pop was grooving too. He'd be grooving and moving through the cars. And, you know, back in the days, he used to drive real fast. So moving through the cars, he'd be like, yo, I remember we went to Georgia. We went, like, and you know, Georgia is a long ass trip. Now, the funny thing is, recently, me and Danielle and Edwina went to you know, to Atlanta in the car. Everybody knows I drive like a soccer mom, right? I drive like a soccer mom. I don't care. Nobody tell me. That's what I do. Nobody can be mad at me. I'm super careful. I don't tailgate. I keep 3 car lengths between me and other people. You know, I need time to react. I watch everything. I don't really have a good time. I just don't. But you put Edwina in the car, that's Racer X from Speed Racer. That's Racer X. That's Racer X. Right?
She
be drifting.
Driving ass,
super driving ass. Moving,
don't let
moving
no
between
music
cars.
Be on.
Yep, playing music, dancing the Jersey Club, moving a car. I'm like,
okay.
Right.
She got us there, though. She got us there. She did the majority of the driving, and she got us there. You know?
She did. She's like, yeah, I'm going to drive now. Remember when we stopped right before we got outside Atlanta? She's like, I'm going to drive now because you drive too slow, my hobby. She's like, you got to get out of the car. You just move too slow. That's it. You know, that's when people give you the thing, which is funny because when I drive my own car, the only time I drive fast is when I got some place to be or something inside of me got a place to be.
Okay.
Now,
understood.
The whole time. That's about it. There's no other time. I don't have any other time to really deal with it. All right. I'm going to just open it up because I see he's sitting, he's hanging out here in the bottom, so we're just going to just bring him into the conversation because he's hanging out. Just Jay.
Uh-oh.
Just Jay. Just Jay.
They might be catching some bees again.
Right. Or he's just listening somewhere and he ain't at near his phone.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen. That can happen. We also have another number, which I don't know. It's 904, so I'm not sure if that's anybody from War Council, but I'll figure it out. Figure it out. Make it all happen. All right. So I know people were busy tonight. This might be a long show or a short show, depending on what we do. But sipping a little, having a good time. All right, so let me just throw this in the background. All right, so for starters, I'm going to ask y'all a question. As a matter of fact, I'll bring some people into this. Jizzoint, see what happens. See if we can get some people in here. Which is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Okay, wait a second. Okay. Why can't I get to my chats? Okay. Let me see. All right. So here's, I'm trying to get to the first question. So I was trying to make it all happen real quick. But I'm going to throw this up in the hive, see if anyone else comes through. Unless one of y'all want to do it for me. That'd be easier for me. All right. So here's the question. Right. And so this is really tailored. This is really tailored for the fellas, but I'm gonna make it so that the ladies can do it too. All right.
So,
my thing keep closing on me. This is the problem. That's why this kid can't play on this phone no more. He can't play it no more because my joint be like closing. Like I'll be like touching stuff. It just be closing because he just I don't know what he put in the phone, but. It just be closing super fast, and the E don't work, and the 3 don't work. Real weird stuff, right? Anyway, now, here's the question. We're going to put this question out. And 904, if you want to be a part of it, just raise your hand and be a part of it. All right. Your ex-porn star, significant other, is now... They have starred in over 100 films and done group films, and they have claimed to accept the Lord as their savior and become a new person. So as it stands, could you or could you not marry an adult film star?
Hmm.
Wow.
Hmm. Would I? I'm put it like, well, I'm gonna start off like this. Anything is possible. You can find. You never know when you're gonna find love, where, when, or with whom you're gonna find it. So, I could, but. There would be some long, serious discussions about how I feel and what I will and won't accept within the relationship. It's going to have to be some ground rules laid down. I know we say when we marry someone or we find that special love, it's unconditional, but there's for us as humans, there's no such thing as unconditional love because we have standards, we have preferences, we have certain conditions we want to live under. So we have limitations on certain things. But I think it's possible to do that. I could.
Mm.
As long as I get from him what I would want from any other man that I am dealing with and plan on being with for the rest of my life. Make sure you make me feel like that I'm your world, and I'm not in a competition with any other woman. Your job is your job. I'm me. So you have to be just like with any other job. You have to separate work from home. Don't bring that shit home to me. But that's a special mindset. I'm gonna tell you now.
That's a special mindset.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Liz, how about you?
See, I'm kind of. I think practically. So, like, you know what that person has done on film. It's obvious. And they've decided that that's not the life they want anymore. But any random somebody that you meet could have as many bodies as she do. They just never got it put on film for the world to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of like judging folks by the things that they have done and not seeing who they are at this moment. I kind of sort of had this discussion with someone I was talking to the other day, and like people see the things that you have done and don't see where you are now. And they end up missing the blessing because they're looking at the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you meet somebody, you learn who they are, you learn their character, you learn that kind of stuff, and and you judge, you make a decision at that point. You know, what I know of you and what you've already done in your life and what you are now, it could be two completely different things. So, yeah, I think I could marry someone who was a porn star if they had changed their life and that was not who they are now. I think I could.
All right, Javi, let me ask you a question. It's staying on topic. Could you, maybe she's not a porn star, but you had a discussion with her and you found out that she had mad bodies for about 5 years, like altogether about 300 bodies within like 5 years. Could you?
Wait, how many bodies again? Could you give me that count one more time?
300 within 5 years.
Well, if it's like 300, that's a lot of microbes and microorganisms running around. So I don't know about all that. That's 300 is significant. That's a very significant number. But so that means that they was participating in all kinds of bukkakis. Gangbangs, you know, just different stuff that's going on. And my thing is like, you know, you can get in your feelings over one person, let alone 300. So I mean, like with anything else that's going on. But at the same time, you know, you know, why judge? Let's he be judged. You know, people have always done, like, you might have done something questionable in your time. So who are you to judge somebody on something that they done that was questionable, knowing that you damn well could be questionable yourself.
That's true.
But I think it kind of depends on the male-female part of it, too, because men are way more sensitive about how many bodies a female has than a female is about a male. Men are kind of thought to be promiscuous anyway, and so we kind of expect guys to have a lot of bodies, but most guys don't want to hear what bodies a woman has.
Right. And another
I was going to say,
in the porn industry, they're strict about health and making sure that you're clean. So these people have to get tested. They have to go to the doctor regularly, all of that. When you are just a regular female, that is not in that industry, you don't know what she's doing. You know what I mean? You're not, you don't, you can't, she's not liable to produce any papers, any receipts that she's been to the doctors and she don't have this and she doesn't have that. They have to do this. This is a rule set written in their contracts that they have to go to the doctors and they must be checked before they get into, they're allowed in that industry like that. So for an average Joe that just want to hoe around, I don't know. I don't know. I think I would feel more comfortable dealing with the ex-porn star than I would just a regular guy running around just, you know, being kang-ding-a-ling. Okay? So that's just me.
You know, what I think is, to answer your question, I think men are rewarded for being promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when anything else is going on. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, you're celebrated because you the man.
I'm bringing in Chef J. Chef J, you're awake. Hold on.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, man. Women and men look at it differently, too. Like a guy, like y'all mentioned that a guy would be disgusted by it. I've seen women actually get turned on by the conversation of a body count of a man. More times than anything the other way.
Hmm. So they would rather have the man flooded out and experience rather than him just have been with one or two women?
Yeah, I've talked about like during my heyday time, and it always is something of intrigue. And I would actually kind of like throw it out there like I ain't trying to throw it out there and they'll be like, you know, wanting to know more. Me, on the other hand, I wouldn't want to know all that. That would bother me.
Okay.
would it crawl underneath your skin slowly and burrow itself deeply into your subconscious? You know, let me stop that. He'd be like, it burrowed into your skin. It buried itself in your subconscious. but to answer the question, because, you know, like our like men being regarded as promiscuous is highly related to quote unquote prowess, and I don't know who made it that way. That's not anything that should actually be promoted in any sense of the word, because, and nowadays with anything else that's happening, you know, like it, you know, where I grew up at, like if you got the clap, that was like a rite of passage. So you got some bad putty, but you know you got some putty, so you know anything else, but that's not that. Like literally, and the funny thing is, like it was the same culprits. Like I was like, man, listen, there was like two or three girls that was clapping everybody, and I mean clapping them, you know. And the thing was that was crazy about it was you know, they all had similar circumstances. Bad homes, things that sort of people doing certain things to them, messing with people trying to pimp them out, all kinds of crazy shit. And so, you know, some people regarded that idea of having sex as a form of acceptance that you really like me, you know, or something else going on. And sometimes, like, you know, I agree with just Jay, when people talk about your prowess or something like that, how many partners you may have or may not have had, you know. So that in itself.
Oh, you want me to give
you
a number?
Problematic thing. No, I ain't asking for that. No, I don't give numbers, bro.
I'll just mess with you anyway.
don't give numbers, bro. Don't do it. Bad thing.
Well, can
you know, because I know when.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying,
say,
if
like,
you were.
I was
just going to say, if you were to hook up with a woman that was very promiscuous, would that being out with her or not out with her, she may be home or something, would you look at guys that you see in passing and be like, I wonder if she fucked?
Nah, I wouldn't do that. But then again, you know, I'm going to just answer for me. I'm not going to, you know, just so you can answer the question. I could tell you that some of the things in my undergraduate days, I was very, very loose. I'm just going to put it that way. I was very loose.
Porch.
And the thing was, huh? What?
I said four.
That would be correct. I'm not gonna say, you know, and I would tell you that, you know, like I grew up a particular way, and like girls didn't really like me, you know. In my early age, I had like a stutter. I was poor and PZ and nappy, all kinds of crazy stuff. It wasn't really working out for me. And then I got to school. And the fucked up thing is that it motivated me to stay in school.
Wow.
I got to be around for this. But the messed up thing about it was, like, you know, when I was in high school, and I'm not joking, like, you know, none of the, like, there was, like, probably three good-looking girls in my senior class, like three, right? And the rest of them was all of different things and everything else. And the one girl who liked me, she had a mustache. And I ain't like her in September. She had a mustache. But by January, you know, that mustache was looking pretty good. And
Dang.
My best friend actually had a baby by her. But that's a whole other thing. She had a mustache. I'm not even playing. Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm just letting you know. And my best friend actually ended up having a baby by her. So, you know, like I got a thing, like if a woman got a mustache, like now I'm like, you got a certain set of skills that I may not be comfortable with, but you might do your thing. You might do your thing. Right? But when I went to my university, right? I literally, it was like being at an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord with all the best foods. And if you had, like, you know, as my football coach would say, he's like, listen, he's like, the ratio is already 1-9 if you just brush your teeth. He's like, if you play football, it's 1-25, right? If you do different things, you know, you go into school leadership or something like that, you hold down a job, you got your own place. You know, their numbers is endless. And that shit, that theory was fucking true. If I had never heard no truth, that shit was true. And matter of fact, before Jasiri's mom had met me, right, the first thing women did, like anywhere she went with me, women would, like, talk crazy to her and act like they want to fight her over me. Uh-huh. Like we went to a party, and there's a whole bunch of women in the back scheming on her. And they was like, well, we don't, you know, and I ain't even been with none of them. That was the other thing. Like, they was like, oh, you know, he's a hoe, blah, 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 such and such, blah, blah, blah. That means she a hoe too. You know, like crazy shit. Yeah. But that's how people will relate to certain things, you know. In the meantime, in between time, like the worst thing ever happened in my undergrad, my plane after this, right? In my undergrad, they put a list of like 30 dudes that was hoes. And that fucked multiple women and had multiple things. They put a list out.
Oh, God.
A list. Right? And at that time, I was into my black power phase, so I wasn't, like, moving women. I was trying to catch my black Nubian queen. I was on it like that, right? But literally this list, the worst thing about this list was all the women who talked about the men that was on this list, it got them even more sex. You made it so that these are the dudes is the fucking people, so they must have some skill, some talent. And it stopped women from being away from them dudes. It drew them to it. You know, even in the controversy of it, you know, drew it. Man, listen, it was crazy. But we was all breathing a sigh of relief. We wasn't on the list. No, we lived up on state quad. We was relieved. We was like, everybody's talking about them shady escapades we had the other day.
Oh, wow.
Y'all squad wasn't telling.
Nah, listen, it was, buck wild, crazy, mad, nuts and all this other stuff. Like, and it's nuts because that's what happens. But anyway, I'm going to land my plane on that. Just say, what's your answer?
I forgot the question.
If you,
ask me a question.
If you just so happen to hook up with a girl like that and you really, really, like, you fell for her and she was honest with you about her being very promiscuous, if you, whenever you're out with or without her, would you be looking at these different guys that you see in passing, like, I wonder if he was one of the guys? I wonder if Dave was one of the guys, because she's not going to give you each individual name and tell you about
right.
each individual guy, you know. But would it have you thinking? I wonder if that would have been up in her, you know.
Been in that situation before, and it's
okay.
the worst situation ever, because
okay.
whenever she meets somebody and like, hey, how you doing? This, that, and the other. The first thing you think like, oh, they fucked.
mm-hmm.
and the worst part about it, that's not always true. But at the same time, if back in the day when I used to get involved with a woman who was really promiscuous, mm-hmm. more than likely I liked her because of her experience, or she would be willing to go that extra mile.
Okay.
So I had this place for her in my heart. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I knew that the shelf life wasn't going to be that long on that.
I ain't gonna sit here and tell nobody else. Hold on, let's bring in area code 81815. We're gonna bring her. Area code 815, who are you? Say who you are.
I'm Gina Stone.
Hello. Oh, hey, Gina.
My calendar.
Damn, Gina.
Happy Gina. Tuesday, family.
Hey, Gina.
What's happening?
Hey.
Oh, it's a party now.
Listening, saying, "Ooh, let's go."
I'm gonna talk bad about Virginia because you had on the Afrocentric moo-moo, acting like you don't do nothing to nobody. But I know the truth.
Hold on.
Next time, just take a picture.
I'm just saying.
That's okay.
I just know the truth.
So
I know the truth.
You put me on blast. But that's low-key. Love you, Jamie.
I did. So
there's a difference
so
between
Gina,
high key and
we're going to ask you the question.
Yes,
I'm just saying, so
go
Gina,
ahead.
We're going to ask you the question. We're going to get into it, right? So, Gina, could you marry a porn star if they said that they turned themselves over to the Lord and they're a new person? And they got a body count. They did, like, over 100 films. They did 25 group films. But now, you know, they gave themselves to the Lord, and they want to be with you.
Okay, so since I'm heterosexual and we're talking about the porn star would be a man, and that man said that he was a porn star, I'd have to ask if that he had on film was fluid, was it straight, was it bisexual, or was it gay? Because that would change my answer.
We're just going to go with the heterosexual.
Okay.
They were all heterosexual.
Heterosexual man, four star, body count large. I'm 54, my life expectancy, blah, 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 blah. Let's say I live to be 94. I feel like in the long run, over the span of my relationship with him, this could be beneficial for me. I have no problem. Let's move forward.
Okay.
Without hesitation.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I'm so rudely interrupted. My 11-year-old is trying to get. He's like, do you know where the gloves are? I was like, what gloves? He's like, you know, gloves you need. Like, don't you have rubber gloves? And I'm sitting here like, I'm broadcasting. I'm broadcasting. Don't you have rubber gloves? I'm like, I'm broadcasting. You know, that's when you know kids, they entitled, they love too much. You love them too much.
No such thing.
You know,
no
you
such
ain't, you
thing
ain't,
too much.
You don't kill them. I'm just saying, you don't kill them like your parents killed you. That's what I'm saying. They, you know, I don't say nothing. My father would be like, my father would be like, yo, one time, right, no lie, sidebar, right, I came home from football practice and everybody was going out the house. And I didn't have keys, right? I didn't have keys. And I couldn't get in the house and I wasn't going to try to climb in a window. I thought it was stupid. But I was cold. I was hungry. I was tired. I was beat up. I'm tired of carrying the ball, kind of stuff like that, right? So I literally didn't have enough common sense to walk to my goddamn mother's, well, walk to my mother's house, not me put, damn it, for that. Didn't have enough common sense. I literally slept on the porch, right? Because my father's like, if you don't come straight home after football practice, I'm going to kill you, right? And I knew all the threats to be true. So I was like, I'm going to just sit here. Freezing my butt off, waiting to, and then my father was like, why don't you go to your mother's house? I was like, I didn't want to get killed.
All that murder talk, Dad.
I was like, nah, that's hard. My father didn't talk. He talked.
Wow.
You know, that's what, if you really want to see me mad, I don't talk to you, that's a bad place to be, because that's, I got that from my pops. Like I don't talk to you. My father never talks. He just kill you. He just come in the door killing you. Come here. Like, wait a second. Hold on, sir. I need my head. Give my leg back. Give me my leg back.
Oh,
you're not supposed to be beating me with my own leg. What's wrong with you?
With your leg. No. We couldn't interrupt our mother.
I'm sorry,
at all.
My bad, Jared. My chin hit the thing, Jared. I'm sorry, but yeah, no, that's how my pops was. You know, like, you know, so you know now, you know, kids, you know, you can't do nothing. You know, you just got to talk to them and take things away. You know, maybe a case of karate chop in the forehead. Who knows? But
damn.
Just
my mom was a shoe-throwing mother. She threw everything at you if you interrupted her. She did not play. She'd get that look, like a, you know, bar, tighten up them lips and squinch them eyes. The first warning was to snap the fingers and to get away. You come back again, that's it. Something is coming at you. You had to have real good ducking skills with her. But she was not playing.
My mother had like two phases to motherhood because me and my sister are 10 years apart. So when I was younger, she would take the chance on like chasing after me if I took off, which I didn't do often because that got you beat even worse. But my sister, by the time my sister came along, my mother's arthritis had pretty much kicked in when she was getting to the age, you know, 10, 11 years old. And somehow she picked up the skill of throwing things and being really, really accurate with it. I think I dodged that bullet because my mother would throw whatever was laying in front of her at you. I remember one night my sister was washing dishes and taking forever to do it. And my mother said, are you going to finish them dishes today or tomorrow? And my sister, being smart under her breath, said, tomorrow. My mother picked up a teaspoon, and I saw her do it, and I was back in the corner where my sister was by the sink, because she was back to her. And Mom threw that teaspoon. I pulled my sister out of the way, and the handle of the spoon stuck up in the wall.
Wow. Ooh. That's the female John Wick. You know, he killed people with
my mother was dangerous. When she lost the ability to run after us, she got extremely accurate with throwing things.
She's a marksman.
Yes, sir.
That's a cultural thing, man. I'm telling you, your forebears, Latino, Jamaican, Black, they got that one thing in common, and that's that slipper, the chancleta. That's the word.
Oh, man.
That's the word.
Pick up a shoe and a hat.
Like, let me get you with this chancleta real quick. Let me hit you with this real quick. You're gonna be all right. All right. So now we got that out the way, you know, and it's 10 o'clock. We gotta get to the main event. All right. We gotta reserve some time unless y'all want to do the FOH now, and then we can get into the Sweet Lee Seasons. Y'all want to do the fuck out of here? Whatever you want to say, the fuck out of here. Just say what it is and describe it to us and tell it. It's got to get the fuck out of here. So do y'all want to do that first? Because that seems like a lot of fun. Nice transition.
It's your thing.
And it's whatever you want to say the fuck out of here, except for me. Because if you say fuck out of here to me, I'm just gonna hang up the phone and kick you out of here. I reserve the right to kick you off the show. That's the other thing. Like you try to disrespect my father in his house, he'd be like, "Are you raising your voice in my house?" and as soon as you get the question on the end of it, run. Don't stand around. Just run out the door if you can make it. But you know,
anybody in your life is questioning whether or not your parents are black. If you've been hit with anything within their reach, you are. Because I have been hit with a fly swatter. I have been hit with part of a railroad track. Part of a race track.
Big difference.
Yeah. Look, hold on, stop. Y'all think I'm done. I got hit with a spatula. I've been hit with a stick that you held the window up with because the locking position didn't work. And they used that stick to hold the window up in the window. They took that joint out and hit you with it. I've been hit with a Bible. I'm done.
I don't think I've ever been hit with a Bible. But all that other stuff, yeah. Hanger, fly swatter, dip, all kinds of stuff. Hot Wheels track. Absolutely Hot Wheels track. Yeah. Dot Barbie doll.
First of all.
And doll.
I just want to know how we kept getting Hot Wheels racetracks when we ain't ordered them. That's why I don't like Hot Wheels to this day. Be like, oh, you like Hot Wheels? No.
It's in our parents' broken pieces. They're like, I just want straightaways.
Girl, you want this? No. I ain't asked for it. I don't even know why it's here. Who bought this?
You never got none of your kids, none of your two boys, a Hot Wheels set?
Well, me? By that time, you know, like, I would use the Hot Wheels for that. You know, they like it, you know. It was a waste of time. It was a waste of time for Ja. Ja used to have cars coming out of his ears.
He survived it, so he wasn't putting his kids through it.
He's never been in the position of what I was in the position of, so I never did that with him. So it was like, it didn't make sense. However, my son, I never bought him, like, he got Hot Wheels, but it was like, you know,
some
he played with
just
it.
Have a good child.
Yeah, well, I mean, my son was always dope. Like, I could really count on one hand the times he got in trouble, like the older one. You know, this one, he's a mad scientist.
Right.
And it makes me mad because he just experiments too much for his own goddamn good. That's his problem. That's his problem now. And he's loved too much. So
that's,
he thinks he has to say in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very expressive. And I keep telling him, I'm like, hey, you want to go law school?
He's going to rule the world. Right. He knows the formula.
You don't even understand. Like, he just be on some other stuff all the time. And then he could talk himself. Like, he's so convincing. Like, and he'll be sitting there, and he knows he did something. Like, I knew he cut up my vinyl. Like, because I was like, it was normal when I fell asleep. And then when I fell asleep, like, he likes to play with sharp things. And so he's been doing that since he was little. So I gotta watch him. That's one reason why I don't want to bring any swords in the house. at all. I'm not going to do it. You know, because I already know.
Come on.
Like, he's going to be like, oh, I was just playing with it. I was just playing with it. I wasn't trying to do nothing. I'm like, so you just cut your leg off because you was just playing with it, huh? It's magically set and cut your leg.
Damn.
That's what happened.
Wow.
So that's the reason why I don't bring no bows here, because I already know not gonna do it. No bows, no swords, you know, and hell no for guns. But I'm changing my mind rapidly.
I got one here too, man. So I feel your pain.
Wow.
Man, trust me. Cause he just be in the experimenting.
Look,
I just be like, no.
My mom took archery in high school, and everyone in my immediate family has a fourth card. That's all I got.
Like I say, all right. So y'all ready to do the segment? Fuck out of here. All right. So my fuck out of here goes to the gentleman that has been suing Color and winning. It's the same individual who fucking sued affirmative action and got it converted. The same motherfucker who's suing the venture capital business for black women that gives business opportunities lending to black women, who's suing them and has actually blocked them from actually being able to disperse funds to black women because it's discriminatory towards white people. This is the same individual who basically made it so that diversity initiatives have been canceled out in particular organizations that serve people of color. This is all he does. He has had 8 cases. He has won all 8. He has been on his bull fucking shit, right? Mm-hmm. And he's been pulling up laws that predate some of the stuff in our modern constitution that haven't been updated. And he's just been winning these cases. And this is all he does is fuck with black people. So fuck out of here. You got to get the fuck out of here. I don't care what you do or how you do it. Somebody needs to fucking make you take a trip. I'm not even going to say that because that's bad. I won't put it into the air. I'm not even going to do that. But you know what? God don't like ugly. He don't like ugly. Mm-hmm. And for everything that you do towards trying to stop people from having equality, you know, because some people, equality feels like oppression to them. Feels like it to them. Because they're not used to sharing and they don't want people to do anything. And he's one of those people who just sits around and figures out how to make the law work for him. So either you got to go or these laws got to go, but we can't do both. So fuck out of here to him. Next.
Oh, I got to think of one. Somebody else go.
Anybody.
Go ahead, Gina. No. That brother had a thought. I didn't want to go in there. What I'm saying is...
Anybody, Jay, you got one?
It is complex. I thought Jay had one. No? Who chimed in?
I always get in trouble when I play this game.
Is it on me?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Fuck out of here. If you're a poet and a spoken word artist and you can't spell, and if you text message me on my actual phone number and you send me a message that says, I know how you're feeling, and you spell no, N-O instead of K-N-O-W, you're making my IQ drop. I'm sorry, intelligent and educated to allow that to just slide by. I have to call you on it, and then you say why. You know what I meant. I know what you meant, but I also know what you felt. And that was not the same thing, my dude, because apparently you're a nigga and I'm black. We ain't the same people. Bye-bye. Fuck out of here. I'm about to be out here retarded. I'm about to be wearing a helmet, licking the window in the short bus because I allowed you to send me a text like that and I replied to it without checking you. No, see, I'm not hurt. So you should have met a younger version of me who would allow things like that, but I am not she, so bye-bye.
Wow. feeling like that one.
Stop laughing. No, don't laugh. I was hurt. My feelings were hurt. I thought he actually was worthy. That was his at bat. He swung for the fence, and it wasn't. It was, and he fouled out.
All right,
not
the
swing for the fence. I'm talking about an in-the-park home run or over the fence. I'm triple play. But you, this is what you got? Oh, I'm done. That was my fault. Because apparently I thought that you were somebody, but you're not. And that was, you know, false advertising. As far as I'm concerned, this was disingenuous, and now I'm angry. So fuck you and everything you represent. Bye-bye.
All right. I got to fuck out of here. Recently, okay.
Look at, hold on, look for the negro. I told you, if you let me go first, you go after this. Let's go.
Recently, I was tagged in a post that was about me, and there was a prompt given, and you know, we have what you call creative liberties when you write poetry, right? And the prompt was worded a specific way, but someone made it their business that I don't even associate myself with to play a word Nazi and so-called correct me. And I'm very intelligent. I'm very well-spoken, and I don't need help with that. And this prompt was given a couple months ago to a lot of poets. Person decided to come on their post knowing damn well I don't fuck with them and call themselves correcting it. And the person that posted it, they jumped on them real quick and let them know that that's the title that was given for you to write to. And I feel like this fuck out of here. I don't need your help. Nothing was spelled wrong. The word placement was correct. The fuck out of here. Don't come at me like that. But I was cool about it. That's my fuck out of here. I don't even talk to you. You don't associate yourself with me. But for some reason, every so often, people feel like they need, I think people need validation from the person that they're not getting any recognition from. Nobody said that this particular person is not being paid attention to by me.
I agree.
I'm noticing that about people. You know, everybody else is associated with you. Just because I don't like you, that don't mean you can't say nothing to me. Fuck out of here. Okay? Bobby,
okay, I got one. So my fuck out of here is for people who have known you all your life, in some cases they're blood, but they don't have much to say until they see a whole bunch of other folks posting to you, and then they jump in because mm-hmm. they want to be part of the crowd, or they see you doing something, because I've always worked in radio and TV, and people who wouldn't even speak to me on the street would call into my radio show talking about, hey, that's my homegirl. I called that out on air. Nobody tried that one no more. And you walked yeah. right by me on the street yesterday and ain't speak. So how'd I get to be your homegirl overnight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, these so-called friends and family, people you've known or have known of all your life, that ain't got nothing for you until they think you're in a position that they can use for their own glory, then they show up. Fuck out of here.
Lisa,
yeah.
I'd like to tell you what we call that in my family. Mm-hmm. I hit you and I hid my hand.
Right.
I don't like you, but I see what you're doing, so I'm trying to be on the bandwagon. But I don't actually mm-hmm. like you, because you know that already. It's been a fast time, mm-hmm. right? I hate that. And that's what we call that in my family. If I hit you and hide my hand, you got the right to call me on it. So I feel you. And I feel mm-hmm. you too, Danielle. Please know that. Libertador Negra, fuck them. Yeah, up against the wall. Yeah, I love you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Just say you got one?
I've been thinking on it, man, and just trying to be to some authenticity. I don't have one right offhand, bro.
All right, well, listen, we can always come back to you. Cause we run out of time, and time is moving quick, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you at the end of the segment. We're going to go. We're going to try to make it happen. But in the meantime, in between time, we're going to get into what we call blocking your blessings. We're going to talk about what happened with the Keith Lee effect and how somebody blocked their blessings over insignificant amount of money that they could have done. All right. So does anybody need a synopsis so we can get into it so they understand what it is? Because I thought about playing, like I had it queued up to play, but I realized like that's 9 minutes. Y'all going to have to listen through different people talking. I just had, and we can just talk about it from a certain perspective. I don't have an event page, so I can't put the links up. So I'm sorry. I don't be doing event pages because people don't come to them. So I feel like it's a waste of my time.
No,
it's
okay. However, I get it.
All right, so Keith Lee is a person. He goes, he started out on his TikTok, trying food, right? And then he give them a rating, right? And his TikTok blew up overnight. He became this person who began to taste food, and he give his opinion on food. And so what had happened was his effect is that when he goes and he got so popular that now when he would go to these little restaurants that would have good food, right, he'd rate them, and almost overnight those restaurants would begin to prosper. He would also bless the restaurants by tipping people thousands of dollars and things of that sort. And he's been going all over the place, all over the country doing his things. Like, literally, he's been able to earn a bunch of money through his TikTok. TikTok pays him well. All these different places pay him well. And on top of it, he's like a man of God. So he takes what he gets and he blesses people with it. And so he'll go and he'll try the food and have everything else. Right? And it's been relatively successful, for the exception that he went to Atlanta and he went to New York. And he went to New York, he went to certain places, and New Yorkers are New Yorkers, and they were like, oh, we don't care about the Keith Lee effect, it's whatever. But other people would have him come in. Like, he went to one place that I'm going to go to. They had oxtail pizza. I'm fascinated. I got to go to that place, right? He also went to Atlanta, and basically only a couple of places he went to Atlanta, he was really allowed to rate, and everybody else was on some other stuff. Like, even Candy's Old Lady Gang, they treated it a certain way. He didn't get to do all that stuff. So, he, you know, there's certain places that don't like the effect that he has. And like one place did a video, and they got eaten up alive trying to diss Keith Lee. They ate him alive, wow. Right? So, and they was like suffering from their business because they were trying to be like, oh, who is he? And stuff like that. But literally his effect has been being going to these small businesses, black owned or not, and really reviewing the food, letting the people know how delicious the food are, and then those people have begun to prosper from that. And so one of his examples that he did was there was a place in Vegas where the father came down. He had, like, tongue cancer, and then they had asked him to go to the restaurant. And so literally when he had asked people to show up to the restaurant because he thought the food was really, really good, and he said the line went around the block 6 times.
Wow.
And that company has been successful ever since. And then there was another company that was in Vegas where they virtually had no people. And the person said after the Keith Lee effect, and he did a video, and they showed how many people were coming in and how much their sales tripled. You know, another woman, she did something with Keith Lee, and literally because of the Keith Lee effect, she quit her job teaching, and she had to rapidly expand her business because of Keith Lee, right?
Wow.
So, that being the groundwork, right? Keith Lee went to Texas. He was in North Dallas, right? And so the person, her name is Kim. She owns Sweetly Seasoned. She is a food truck, right? And she does fried ribs. All right. Oh. So literally and figuratively, her son, he's on TikTok. His name is Trey's Not Gay or something like that. And he's friends with another famous TikToker. Her name is Sherelle, right? So he asked Sherelle to come through and try to help because they said they're going to make videos that Keith Lee is coming. They're going to try to get Keith Lee to come through to the truck. So he was doing videos. She was doing videos. She has a much bigger platform than him. And so she had asked her to come through and make T-shirts and all this other stuff. And so rather than stop what she was doing, she told someone to meet her over there so she could braid her hair. And her brother saw it as an opportunity. And so her brother's like, I'm going to go over there and sell haircuts for $40 a piece, right? And so in the meantime, in between time, like she's friends with Trey. So they're talking about all the stuff that they're doing. Now, when they was over there, she was on her live talking to everybody, doing cheers and all kinds of other stuff. And he had just said, well, I hope we can get Keith Lee here, anything else. That was the extent of what he was. But she's doing cheers. She's talking to people, telling people to come out, what have you. And on top of that, you know, she's friends with the brother. And so she went to go help the mother on the truck because the one woman that was there, like, she didn't have no helpers because apparently nobody wants to work for the mom. And so she couldn't keep people on trucks. And she's like, my son's been advertising the business, but, you know, it's one of those things. So literally, Keith Lee sees the live, right, because your platform is big enough to catch his attention, and it's mostly her. He has like 220,000 followers, but she has more. And so when they come, they're all excited. They're cheering. They're doing all this other stuff. He's making, you know, he's like cheering with her in the background, like we did it and all this other stuff. She made a he asked her to make a T-shirt that says Keep Me Season, and she's wearing it and stuff like that for all the T-shirts. And, of course, Keith Lee comes, right? And so what he does is he gets the food and he goes, all right, so here's what's going to happen. He says, you know, I'm going to give $1,000 to the barber so he can give free haircuts. I'm going to give $1,000 to the braider. I'm going to tip you $2,000. And then on top of that, not just the food that he bought that he paid $80 for, but he also gave her an extra $880-some-odd to feed the rest of the people that were out there to give them free food, right? Mm. And it was like a five-minute interaction that he did that. Now, herein lies the problem, right? He clearly stated to the owner of the truck, he gave her decent ratings on her food, right? Decent. Like nothing was under a 7. So he gave her decent ratings on food, told her what he thought, all this other stuff, right? So in the tradition of working with Keith Lee, right, 9 times out of 10, when he rates your food and he reviews it, that's like a lightning rod. It sends everybody to your business. Now, mm-hmm. Sherelle was there, and Sherelle was working on the truck. Sherelle took it in the POS system because that's how he wanted to give the tips, right? So the mother was, like, telling Sherelle, and her brother, he's like, well, I work with Square. It's going to take a couple days to clear, and then I'll give you the money, right? So Sherelle's like, all right, cool, that, you know, and she's working on the truck. So they give food to 3 people for free, and then the mother's like, you got to charge everybody else, right? And then she tells Sherelle, she's like, oh, I can't believe this happened. I was broke before I came over here, blah, blah, blah. So then the next day happens, right, and she's like, you know, you got to give my brother his $1,000. So the mother was like, I'm not giving you the money. So when she said she wasn't giving her the money, right, and so Sherelle was like, you got till 5 o'clock to make this right, and then I'm going to start making videos, right? And so she didn't understand how deep the video went. Now, the funny thing for me is I saw it happening in real time, right, because I follow her on TikTok because she does other stuff. But I follow her on TikTok. I was following her when she made the video. She made the video. And she had all the receipts. She had all the receipts. She had the conversation on a text where she was talking to the brother beforehand, how he wanted her to come over there and help out. She had the text where the mother was like, oh, call me so we can make an arrangement instead of just giving you the money, right? And then she said to the mother, don't even worry about my thousand. You can keep that. Just give my little brother his $1,000, right? Mm-hmm. And the mother goes on and says, I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong if I keep the money. And the son was misconstruing everything that Keith Lee said. He said, Keith Lee did say that my mother can distribute the money however he sees fit, right? And so she's on there, and people are giving her horrible reviews, and they're telling her to give up the money. Give them the money, right? And it was like, and the funny thing was she only had to give up $1,000, And so the next day she goes back to work, nobody comes to the truck. And she has to shut it down early. Right? So nobody comes to the truck. She's like, oh, I had to shut down by 3. Nobody came. Nobody's here. Right? And so in the meantime, in between time, people are leaving horrible reviews. People are talking. They're dusting her up on all her social media, on her TikTok and her Instagram. They're really going at her. They're calling her phone, making threats. They're doing all this other stuff, telling her to give up the money. Right? And she's making these posts saying that she don't feel that she's wrong, that she don't have to give them the money because they're not the brand. They don't represent her, and somebody did anything else. Now, my question to y'all is, what would y'all do if y'all knew that the money was there? What would y'all do?
Me being the person that I am, I would have gave the money up. I wouldn't have done that. She knew she was wrong. But see, some people got in their mind that they're the gift, and they don't even see how they're being blessed. But she brought that on herself. She really did. She didn't have to do him like that, even though she said that Keith gave her the option to distribute the money however she saw fit. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and she was wrong in this case. She should have just gone ahead, because I know that she probably was generating much more. She probably was generating thousands, and that one part was not going to break her, was not going to hurt her business or anything. She should have given the money to him, okay? It was wrong, and she brought it on herself. So if karma came right away to her restaurant, she got served exactly what she deserved.
Yeah, I agree with LaPearl and Edgar because she already made more money than she was going to make that day, because he came out there, he spent his money, he gave her money to feed other people, he gave her tip money, and he gave her money for the other people who were around. So, and then the other chick that was live, she already said, I don't need the money, but my little brother needs this money. So the only thing she really had to give up was that $1,000 to the barber. Mm-hmm. And everything else that was given to her, she could have kept with no problem. But she just chose to, first of all, not feed the people the way he wanted, because I'm sure that 3 people did not buy $800 worth of food.
Right.
Then she's going to keep all of the tip money after he said how he wanted the tip money distributed, did that to herself. And when they went on their platforms and said what she had done, then she brought all that onto herself. Because if she had just done what she was supposed to have done, she would have made all the money she made that day, and God knows how much money, for all the people that would have showed up there to have the food that he reviewed that was good. So she screwed herself in the long run all the way around.
Well, how about you, Jess J?
She's in business, but she's treating her business like she's poor, like she's always going to be poor. So whenever she sees an opportunity to go ahead and get a scam in and stuff like that, it's just a formula to go ahead and cut down on the longevity of the business, man. Just for her to be scrounged like that, especially since she got so public and she still would not let go of the money. It kind of reminds me of the monkey trap, when the monkey sticks his hand down into the gourd and it makes a fist around whatever was shiny in the bottom of it. Even though he sees 100, he still doesn't let it go. He wants to keep holding on to it till the 100 pulls him out of there.
How about you, Gina?
I'm sorry, I was talking on mute. I am finished on my mute face. So on mute, what I was thinking was this. How can you not know that you have a responsibility, not just to yourself, but the people who look up to you? Like, sometimes you don't even know the answer, but there was a family member who didn't feel so normal. And then you will gauge what we need to bring to the table. You are angry, but that's not for you. You should just embrace the fact that this is your property. Be the best you can. Be the best you can do. Be the best you can do. Don't be angry. And then someone else is here. And the only reason I say this is because I did that to myself. I had a cousin that could help me take care of my mom and my second mom, which is my aunt. She was, hello, Dorothy, please, I'm just a phone call away. You know, all I could think was, what are you saying to me? I didn't see that. But I'm aware of it now. So all I can say is sometimes people bring mistakes because it's not because they're not coming for me. It's because they don't trust the process. They know what they bring to this chance. They don't know what other people are doing. So sometimes people say things that they just don't remember. So I'm glad to have cousins who have my back. And I hate when people hit you and hide your head. So all I can say is, you know, it's up to us as individuals. See who has our back and who's your same. So as long as we understand the sermon, we'll understand who has it and who doesn't. And we can move forward. I hate that this is a thing, but that's what it is. And that's it.
Well, just to update you on some of the things that happened since then, right? So the mother, her name is Kim, she went on social media complaining about the money and everything else. And basically, her and her son were saying that Sherelle was a scammer. They was like, she's a scammer. Trey started talking about her personal situation with her kids and calling her out her name, saying that she's a scammer and all the things. And she was doing it for the clout, you know, and she was doing it for the clout. Never mind the fact that Sherelle posted all of him asking her to come out and to help him with it. And the thing was, she had also worked on that truck for free for the mother, right? And so she had all the stuff put together, and she had all the stuff that was happening. Now, all that stuff is happening. Nobody was coming out to everything else, and everybody, there was a billion and one response videos to her telling her that she needed to give the money out. And then the mother comes on, like, and she's like, if Keith Lee tells me to give her the money, I'll give her the money, right? So, and the son was like, yeah, Keith Lee, everything else. So Keith Lee responds himself. And Keith Lee's like, he's like, I already knew that he was selling haircuts for $40. He said, I was giving him the money so that he can cut other people for free. Now, the other thing is that after the third person, she shut down the operation. She shut everything down, closed everything, right? Closed everything down and stopped it. And she's like, I gave away food till 9 o'clock at night. She didn't give away food till 9 o'clock. And the funny thing is, like, she was lying about a bunch of stuff that she could be easily disproven, right? So then when Keith Lee said, he said, I did what was in my heart. He said, I specifically told her, like, he didn't say it like I'm saying it, but he's like, I thought I was clear. He's like, I told her to give $1,000 to the braider if people wanted to do braids because they're out there. He said, when he was out there, he said, it was like 30 deep real fast. And people were pulling up, and he had to get his family up out of there. And he said he doesn't carry cash for his family's safety. So he said the POS system was the best thing. He said the reason why he paid people individually, he said he was going to hand his phone to nobody, you know, or give people his number so that they would have it. And he said this made the most sense to do it. And he said that the son misconstrued what he said on purpose. He said, no. He said, though, he said, I want to choose to be out. He said, whether you're going to give Cash App or Zelle or Apple Pay, he's like, however you decide that you were going to do it was going to be the difference in how you're going to do it. He's like, I intended for that money to go to those people regardless, and I did what was in my heart. And so once he came on and he refuted her, that made everything that they said even worse, which means they was out there really like acting like they didn't understand it. Everybody kept telling him, said, if you were just given that $1,000, to the barber, your business would be out of control. Like you wouldn't even know what to do with yourself. right? Mm-hmm. And she literally was so greedy about it. And then she comes on and she makes an apology, right? And she's making an apology. She's like, tell her we got her money and we'll do this. And she's sending her message like, I got it in cash. She's like, how you get it in cash when you just had it in, you know, had it in a, what you call it, you know, the square. Like, how you get it? And so she kept talking to her. And so the funny thing is, like, she finally got her money. She's like, oh, I paid her her money. Everything should be fine now. Everything should be good. And she has to basically shut her business down and change it to a different name. That's crazy.
It is, and it's a shame.
Do you think,
people...
but you know, and the internet is forever. Do you think that she'll be able to do her business ever again?
She might be able to recover, but she's going to have to do some sanctified work to pay her karmic debt, because what she set off was a shitstorm that comes before her reputation, and it's going to stick to her. So she may be able to recover later on, but she's got to put some work in and prove herself to be a good person towards people. Because once you get that hate from the internet, that's worldwide, baby. That's not just, you know, localized. That's all over the place. Like, oh, no, she looked familiar. I heard about her, you know? And
mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's really hard. Nothing travels faster than the speed of light except for gossip, okay? Word of mouth, I'm trying to tell you. So, yeah, she's going to have to redeem herself by doing some very charitable work and proving to people that she is not greedy like she is. She may never recover. They always say money is the root of all evil. I don't think it's money. I think it's greed, period.
And whatever she does do, that she in the attempt to redeem herself, has to be just as public as the way she fucked up, or it's not going to do her any good.
Absolutely.
I don't know about the public part, because people may see that as her, oh, she's just doing this for clout. You know, she ain't sincere, because people that really want to do good will work behind the scenes. They don't want recognition, you know? So it can go either way for her. But she brought that bad karma on herself. Now that energy is going to be returned to her sevenfold. That's just the way it works. So she's going to have to dig herself out of that damn hole that she jumped down in so willingly and proudly.
You know, but the other thing that I think is nuts is, like, you may change the name of your business, but people never forget a face.
Mm-mm.
And if you make things, you made videos defaming people, talking bad about people, knowing that you was in the goddamn wrong in the first place, and you're like, I don't think I'm wrong, and then you literally say, if Keith Lee want me to give them this money, he need to tell me. And then he's never had to respond, like, to a person. And to me, I'm like, she's fucking it up for everybody. Because now he's going to think twice about donating because of the stuff, because of your greed. Everybody else that he's done, like, there was one brother, I forgot what he did. He did tacos on naan bread. That brother sold out. Like, he didn't have he doesn't have nothing. And he's like, he has to expand his business because of what Keith Lee did for him. That's why, like, the sister who was teaching, she's like, after the Keith Lee effect, I've had to do this. I had to hire staff. I had to get a kitchen. I had to deal with this in order to deal with these orders. You know, just like the brother who did the oxtail pizza, that he already had a line. He already had a line. Now his line is like four times as much. And I'm like, how you block your blessings by being greedy? Like, to the point, like you had no foresight, no idea, you didn't care, right? And then on top of it, here's a piece de resistance, right? There's a street seasoned, right? Seasoned street food, right? That the people thought was her, and they started bombing her. And the woman, she started making videos like, I'm not her, but y'all just going to – she's like, I'm going to just ride this out because this has nothing to do with us. This is not our business. So Sherelle apologized, says, I'm sorry that this happened to you. It's my fault. I'm going to bring my platform over to you and raise money and raise awareness about your business. Now, Sherelle collected over 5 bands for that business by being there. And the people that was there was like, yo, you don't have to worry about food. You can come here and eat whenever you – all your food is free. Blessing each other back and forth. And made thousands of dollars. And so to me, I'm like – if you, and the dude was like, oh, she's doing it for clout, right? Which everything else. I said, listen, she don't have to do nothing for clout. She is the clout. She is the bag. And she just proved it to you. And she took your mistake and blessed it even further. And she's like, I'm not worried about money. I get money. She's like, I get money. She's like, TikTok, Facebook pay me well. I'm not worried about it. She's like, who else is out here giving away $1,000? Like, they got it like that. Right? And she wanted to bless her by giving her her whole $1,000. You know, and that's the crazy part about it was you could tell when people ain't been around no money.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell.
Yep.
And then the worst thing to me was that he was saying that he's like, my mom is slow.
Wow.
He's like, my mom ain't gonna understand. My mom's slow. I was like, this is gonna live forever. This is not gonna age well. Age well at all.
That's not right.
It's not gonna age well.
Nah.
You know, but that's what people do.
That guy.
You know, that's why I'm like, man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, like, if anybody bless me like that, like they come through, they like rough swear, they do such and such, I'm blessing people. I'm like, here, more blessings. I'm throwing holy water like crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Come on, Just Jay.
About what?
I thought he had it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You can't.
Be worried about the
stuff. No, but listen, Gina. People be blocking their blessings all the time. They don't be understand, like especially with some things that can go on. You know.
The Pearl Negra, and also just you know, this list. I don't know who else is here, but for everybody listening, do you remember what happened with? I can't remember the brother's name. Jason something. He's on the side, and he was the voice of Simba in the Disney adaptation, the anime, Lion King.
I know you're talking about. I can't remember his name, but I know you're talking about.
So that child, his mother was his manager. And at the time, they offered him $150,000 for his voice as the voice of Simba, as well as song for Simba Sang. And she passed. You know, she asked for instead royalty. But today, he's made millions of dollars of the royalty from the Lion King. Because he was Simba's voice and the singing voice of Simba in the animated adaptation. So even when it's on stage, even when it's storybook, at any point where Simba is mentioned, he's Simba for Disney. That's royalty he received for life. They were broke. He grew up in the hood. In Chicago, and believe that his mother would make the best deal for him. That's why she became his manager. And she said, we're going to find him. Which was a lot of money for them. So we're going to hold out for best life singer, only the master. It means the world. It's everything. You can live off that. That's not mega rich. Not good rich. That's not rich. That's wealth. Generations will live off that money. In business, it's all the time. All I know is sometimes I just worry about people when they don't have good people. And when the people that we trust, I felt so deep. He needs more understanding. He trusted his mother. The reality is, that's not always the case, and I am so surprised. If it is happening, like, and you know, probably, you know, firsthand.
I could barely hear you.
Yeah, you do sound distorted because you. I don't think it's the fact you have this on speaker. You might be a little bit too far away from it.
I put y'all on speaker. I think it was my earbuds. I took the vent out.
Yeah,
that's
better.
Yeah. There you go.
Let me increase the volume. Is that better?
Well, you sound
that's
great now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love
sound good.
Family. Thank you. But yeah, I hate that. I hate that people take advantage of their people. Me and my family, we always say, where your people at? You know, you should not be on stage receiving a Grammy with Cuckabucks in your kitchen. You should not be on stage, you know, with your eyebrows looking like caterpillars. There are certain things that you need to have done, and your people need to look out for you. And when your people don't look out for you, you're out there dangling, and it may be minor like that, and it may be major, like they don't make sure that you're safe. But whatever the situation is, right, we always need to surround ourselves with people who are like-minded, who are looking out for us, and that happens rarely, but it can.
Right. And we are actually charged with caring for one another, but we don't do it. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of us in the Black community fail, because you will have any other community of people, I'm going to put it that way, and they will bunch up in a house, put all their money together until it's enough money for each individual to go out and have the same exact amount to make it on their own. And we just can't stick together like that for some reason. It's always got to be we in competition with one another. They ain't did that for me. I ain't doing that for them. This and that and that. I want it all. I want it this and this and that. And then they don't, at the same time, they don't realize you can fail at any given time. You can fall at any given time. I'm just take that chance. And then you turn around and now you got hate because you've fallen flat on your face in front of the people that you wouldn't even think about helping. You wanted to keep it all for yourself. You know, and it's sad. It's sad. This is crazy how, because I just scrolled on YouTube and it just, who's listening here? Who sent this video? This guy Keith Lee up the food truck. It just popped up on my YouTube feed. I didn't punch that in. I was just scrolling.
YouTube be listening.
Yeah, he listening. Who sent that?
YouTube be listening, but it's crazy that
I'm not saying
it's
the ops of the feds, but they do be listening.
They be listening, but. The crazy thing is that, you know, Gina, I did hear the thing you said about Jason, what you call it, who did the voice play Michael Jackson and stuff like that. His mother had the foresight.
Oh, his name is Jason Weaver. I Googled him. It's Jason Weaver.
Yeah, Jason Weaver. I couldn't remember the last name. But he's done so many different things. Like, he's been on tracks, singing for Ching, just a whole bunch of stuff. But that in itself, him not taking that money up front, you know, has provided him with a check that's going to pay him dividends. And every time they release it and play it, he gets another check. Like, he's getting checks on the regular because of that. And he like, technically, like, I know that it's so much. I was supposed to research on it, but But he gets this enough money to go along with all the other stuff that he's been doing to live off of, which is one of the most amazing things that happens, that he has these rights to perpetuity. I can't say it because my lips are young. But, like,
that's okay.
A lot of times
I saw him on a video where he said he hadn't worked in 38 weeks, but that Disney movie kept him afloat. That Disney money kept him afloat. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm pulling it up right now. Which is crazy because it's like they said that his net worth is $4 million. They said he's released one album, one EP in the 90s. He said that he's a parent of Kids Who Love Christmas, Brewster Place, Long Walk Home, Jackson American Dream, Sister Sister, Freedom Song, Drumline, The Lady Killers, ATL, Jada, Love for Sale, Lottery Ticket. Yeah, I remember that. The LeBrons, He's Not Mine, He's Mine, Not Yours, you know. So they said that in his 2019 interview with Vlad TV, Jason revealed that he turned down a $2 million flat fee for his role in The Lion King. That's around $3.5 million after just for today's dollars. Instead, he opted for $100,000 plus to share the future royalty of the song music. And in an interview, he claimed that the choice turned out to be very wild because he still earns checks this day. And his total has easily topped the original $2 million offer. But, you know, of course, they're going to say the counter argument would be that $1 million in 1994 after paying taxes be invested in the S&P 500 with dividend reinvestment would conservatively be $9 million today. You know. Mm. But the funny thing is that The Lion King just earned under $1 billion at the box office from its original run and at least another billion from home video sales. And as I said, after adjusting for inflation, Lion King, the highest grossing animated film of all time. So, which means that this man has gotten millions upon millions of that. So, my thing is this, like, if the majority, so imagine if the majority of his thing is like $4 million, he's just collecting money, you know. It reminds me of the dudes, The Knack, and they did the song My Sharona. And they were talking about how much money, like, the dude, he's like he really just makes music. He just goes to his house. I mean, he goes to his mailbox every month for a check. He said every time that they license it, they do certain things, he gets more and more money. So, and he's like, you know, and he was, like, talking about how he got a check. Like, the check he got was, like, $300,000. I wish somebody with $300,000 in my hands every month. You'd be like, hey, here you go, $300,000. Here you go. You know, this is your cut. This is your split out in taxes. Here you go. Oh, y'all want to license this for a show? Yeah. That's going to be this amount of millions. Here's your share. You know, but some people, if they can hit that sweet spot, what it is. But the most important thing is to not block your blessings when people are giving you the land. Because I know that lady, she was so short-sighted, and she couldn't see the forest through the trees. And maybe she is special of some sort. Because anybody else would have been like, yo, give them the, and like, all she had to do was give $1,000. That's it. Here you go. Give $1,000. That's it. And then she would have made 10 times that.
Yeah.
Just over the next couple of days. Like, she would have been like, yo, I got to move it to a restaurant. You know, I got to move it to this. You know, that whole thing of everything else is going. And the funny thing is, he really be blessing people. Like, he be blessing folks. Anyway, with this 90 seconds is about to go, it's been a pleasure having everybody on here on the War Council show. Of course, I want to thank La Perla Negra, Danielle. I want to thank Lisa Libs. Happy birthday! I want to thank Just Jay for coming through, and Gina, Just Jay and Gina, the Gina show here on every Saturday, well, every other Saturday, I think, here on Epiphany Radio. They do good things. They play poetry. They do poetry chants. which is dope. So I don't know, and all I know is that the graphic they use, I would put that on a sweatshirt like yesterday because it's fly. But I want to thank everybody for coming. I want everybody to have a good time. God bless. Good night. It's a school night, so I ain't gonna be here long. Love y'all. Talk to y'all soon. Thank y'all for coming. It's been a blessing. Don't block your blessing. Be one. All right. That being said, this will self-destruct in 5, 4.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Y'all. Thank you.
3, 2, 1.